Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Hey, if you're listening to this, I will assume you're at least interested in money, understanding the economy, and finances as well. And some of us now want to get the next generation interested as well. So check out Million Bazillion, Marketplace's award-winning kids podcast that breaks down money to help dollars make more sense. Tune into Million Bazillion wherever you find your favorite podcasts. A whole new season is out now. Million Bazillion is presented in partnership with Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Greenlight helps kids and teens learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Get 1 month free and an extra $10 when you sign up for a Greenlight account at greenlight.com/million.
You had 3 minutes warning and you're not going to be ready on time? Bro, what are you even doing?
Shut up. Well, no, and then I got 10 seconds warning and then it's like, okay, good. And we were talking anyway. Come on.
It's my fault I distracted him.
Yes.
Hi, everyone. Hi, I'm Molly Wood. Welcome to Make Me Smart, the podcast where we make today make sense.
Oh, man.
I like to overpromise
sweating,
at the top
of
the show.
There's a heat wave.
God, just.
Yes. There is a heat wave in Oakland. There's a heat wave in L.A. It's just hot in the shed. It's hot in Molly's garage. It's just hot.
October in California is just summer.
Yeah.
Happy October. Yeah. Made it through September.
Happy October. I know. The fourth quarter has started. I'm Kai Rizal. Happy Hour Friday. Economics on Tap is how we have branded this, although I don't think we really did brand it. Live stream's up and running, of course. Thank you to everybody wherever you're finding us. Podcast, YouTube live stream. It's also, I'm pretty sure we got Discord. Are you monitoring Discord? Because I'm not.
Oh, yeah. It's hopping in the Discord like it always is. This is like Hot-tober, says Nichelle in Savannah. That's awesome. Hot-tober! That's exactly what it is.
That's pretty good.
Yes. Also, what's really funny is everybody's Fire-tober.
Everybody's chiming in with their weather updates. It's really funny. 73 in Idaho.
I love it, dude. 73 in Idaho?
Sunny and cool
in
Pacific Northwest. Yeah.
Pleasant in Seattle, like it always is. Holy 24 God. Hours of fall in Cleveland. Aw.
Wow.
Delightful. It's Tequila Friday for me.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. Yep. Good, good. I'm doing my Juicy Expat from, let me see. Oh, yeah, I love those glasses. Those are cool. Here's my beer can. Mm. I'm so boring. My beer can.
Not the ones.
The cool
on my
part
face,
about this is
actual.
That it's a local woman owned brewery, Three Weavers. So I like to support them because they're good.
Oh yeah, you've had that before because I remember thinking like that's so awesome, and really it's a good name, Three Weavers.
Yeah. Yep. Yes, it's a really good name.
All right. So yes, we have some drinks. We have some news. We have some half full, half empty. There are lots of good drinks. Raspberry bubbly. It's 89 and sunsetty in Orlando, and Megan Shaw is having the last glass of a Prosecco bottle. Get it, girl.
Wow. Ooh, Chennai, India, 85 degrees.
Chennai, India.
Senthil Kannan from Chennai. Man, do I want to go to India. Holy cow.
That's amazing.
I really would. Also, Hawaii audience, Aloha. It is not a haircut. I just washed my hair today. I just washed my hair. There was no haircut happening.
Oh, yeah. Mine always looks dramatically different when that happens, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. All right, shall we? Shall we news it up?
Yes, let's. Okay, I'll go first because the first one's a quickie. The second one takes a little bit of explaining. So the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, said today that there's going to be a vaccine mandate for K-12 school kids as soon as next fall. That is a big, big, big deal. It's a really big deal. He's inviting all kinds of political fighting, and I can just tell you from my little town here in Southern California, there's going to be a lot of political fighting, but Newsom's taking it on the chin and he's running with it. Now, I will say he's not going to mandate teachers or staff, but if you're a kid in California, you want to go to public schools next fall, K-12, got to get your shots. Kind of wild.
Love it.
Kind of wild.
Bring it on.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yep.
Yeah. Keep it coming.
Yeah.
Yep. P.S. Mandate students or mandate teachers and staff too. Districts are doing that, district by district. But yeah.
So that's a relatively straight ahead one. The one that takes a little more explaining is that Senior Biden aides, this is from the Washington Post. Senior Biden aides privately explored whether payments could continue even if the U.S. breached the debt ceiling. So I have two things I want to point out about this. Number one, October the 18th is the day when Janet Yellen says we will hit the debt limit and she will not be able to borrow more money to pay bills we have already accrued. But if she wanted to, she could keep paying interest on the bonds. She could pay the coupons on the bonds and just keep our credit rating and our status as a reliable lender intact. But she would have to not pay other things like Social Security, like the military, all that jazz. We talked about that. So October the 18th is the date. The really great part of this story is that they also explored the idea of mint the coin. Now, for those who might not be familiar with mint the coin, it's been a thing for a number of years, but in recent debt ceiling crises, specifically 2013, it got really hot and heavy. And the idea is this. The Treasury Department is authorized by statute to print commemorative coins. And so what the mint the coin thing is all about is that the Treasury Department, without needing any authorization from Congress, could print a commemorative platinum coin and value it at $1 trillion. It then takes that coin and puts it
seriously?
On. Yes. The statute says that Yellen can do this. I will say that Janet Yellen has said, I'm not doing that. That's stupid. Shut up. In much more diplomatic language. But.
Okay.
The point is that the White House has looked into this. So the Treasury Secretary could print a coin, value it at $1 trillion, put it on deposit at the Federal Reserve, and then Jay Powell, using his magic Fed chairman keyboard, can create $1 trillion of money, put it in the White House's account, and we could keep paying our bills. I love it so much. It's never going to happen, but I love it so much.
Wow.
And I love that the White House was asking people about it.
What's amazing, too, is that our Discord, which, of course, is like right on it, is all about it. There's just like immediately hashtag mint the coin. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, hashtag mint the coin.
Yeah.
All right, wait. Wow, that's
so
fascinating.
Let me some comments in the YouTube here. Wouldn't that be inflationary? It would not, because it's not actually new money. It's just an asset swap. You take the $1 trillion coin and you get the $1 trillion in money. It's an asset swap straight up. Just saying. Okay, anyway, go ahead.
I want to do it. I think that is fascinating. That's so funny because I had just heard on the Morning Report today, actually, the interview where they were like, oh, yeah, last time this happened, they explored the idea of the Fed buying the debt to get us out of this.
Oh, yeah. That was Chris Lowe. That was a great interview, actually, that David did
with
Chris Lowe.
That was a great interview. Yeah. It was so interesting. And it was they talked about it and they were like, the Fed was like, yeah, I could probably buy the debt, but you can't tell
anyone. It's a secret plan. Don't tell anybody. That's
exactly what it is. It only work if it's a secret plan.
That's exactly right.
And then, like, now that it's not a secret plan, it couldn't work.
Right.
Which is also fascinating. You'd have to admit the coin instead, but also the fact that we're having this conversation is ridiculous.
I know. But the crazy part is that it was only a secret. It only works if it's a secret plan because Congress can't find out about it. That's the subtext, right? If Congress finds out that the Fed can bail out the Congress yet again on the economy, then it's useless because Congress just goes haywire, right?
Oh,
Congress
God.
Is like, oh, yeah, the Fed's going to save us.
This is
absurd.
Craziness.
That was
if
a great
you
interview.
Did not all see Kai Ryssdal on Don Lemon on CNN last night, I'm not trying to like brag about you or tell everybody except like totally go look it up. But I really appreciated because it is so tempting to sort of like make it politics and make it all beltway. And I really appreciated the fact that you were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is not a game. The Republicans are not playing a game here. They are not playing politics. Right. They've made it very, very clear that they will let this happen.
Yep.
And then he was like, oh, crap, Kai, you're right. And you were like, uh-huh. And that was great. That was a great moment.
So you know what's interesting? Never mind. That's a story for another time. I'll save it.
You sure? I mean,
seriously,
we're like
I'm
drinking
not...
and reflecting now. Well, we got nothing but time.
Right. So look, so here's what happened on Marketplace this afternoon. So the last question on Marketplace. So on Friday afternoons, we do the wrap. It's 6.5, 7 minutes of live radio. Today was Heather Long from The Washington Post and Sudeep Reddy. And my last question was to Heather about the debt limit. And I said, come on, seriously? And she gave a really, as Heather always does, a really thoughtful and considered answer and ended with, of course, the Republicans in Congress, specifically the Senate, won't go along with that. And if you listen, maybe they tightened up in post, but in real time, there was like a 4-second lag, which is a long time when you're sitting there on live radio. I was out of time, right? We had gone 8 minutes in the rap, which is already a minute over. And I was about this close to coming out with some really snarky comment about Mitch McConnell, which would have been really not great for us as a journalistic enterprise. And so what I came out with was, yeah, Republicans in Congress, enough has been said about them. And then so I've been thinking about it all afternoon, right? I mean, so it's 3:40 now in the afternoon LA time. I got off the air an hour ago. And it's weird because I've pointed out every single day this week that it's the Republicans in the Senate who are not doing the bipartisan thing and raising the debt limit and alleviating all the potential chaos. But at the same time, I'm like, why is it not okay for me to say on the air, Mitch McConnell is the one who's doing the damage? And I've been wrestling with that. That's that, you know, and we've had conversations, you and I, about what do you do when one party is not operating in good faith and the other party is trying to uphold the norms? We've had those conversations, and I've been grinding on that, you know?
Well, look, it comes down to journalism. What is it like? You shouldn't, if it's raining, you don't ask five people if it's raining. You open the window and you look and see if it's raining,
exactly,
and then
right.
you come back inside and you're like, it's raining. Like, they're the only ones who have ever messed with the debt limit. And they're, you know, and Heather Cox Richardson, my favorite, the only newsletter that I pay for. Don't at me.
Oh, do
I pay
you?
For,
wow. Good for
every
you.
Form of freaking media. Yeah. She just happens to be the only newsletter that I pay for. But had a whole piece about, where was I going with that? The debt limit. And that also in this case, playing around with the debt limit, as in refusing to hold a vote on it and making sure that Democrats, if they want to do it alone, have to do it as part of the reconciliation package,
right.
which, as you pointed
right.
out,
right.
is they're 100% serious about. There is not a situation in which the Republicans are going to be like, nah, we changed our mind, we'll vote for it, don't worry. That forcing Democrats to include it in the reconciliation package has the added benefit of making sure that they can't hold and whip votes on the voting rights bill before the midterms. Because it takes so much time.
Yeah.
Which, again, it's raining, people. No one's peeing on your foot.
Yeah.
It's raining.
Okay. So that's a segue.
It's like my favorite. Yeah. Speaking of peeing on your foot. No, wait. I'm not going to speak about that again. There's been a lot. There's been a lot of talk recently about decentralized finance and like who are the banks of the future. And it's really been interesting to watch Affirm, which was founded by one of the former PayPal founders, Max Levchin, start to try to become this like do it all finance app. Because like in China, they have Alipay, like WeChat is this sort of do it all finance app. You can like do your banking, you can get a loan, you could until, you know, the Chinese government crackdown. And you can take out credit and you can do all these things and trade stocks and everything. And so Google had been apparently trying to get into this game. What I find interesting about it is how many companies are like, oh yeah, I totally want to be a bank. Walmart, Amazon, Google was going to offer bank accounts that would tie into the Google Pay digital wallet, and you could get these checking accounts and you get debit cards and like do the whole thing with Google. And as of today, I know this seems like a random story given everything that's going on, but I just thought it was interesting that Google was like, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to try to become a bigger name in finance. We're not going to offer checking accounts, probably because regulators were like, there's like a lot of stuff that you can stick your fingers in, but finance is not that thing.
Yeah. And why buy trouble, right? You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
really
granted, that Silicon Valley buys itself a bunch of trouble, but why buy more?
And that is, tech has been allowed to run free, as we know, in a million different ways. There's hardly any regulation in that industry to speak of. And the healthcare, I would argue, and finance are the only two issues where they have just like sort of consistently run aground. And so Amazon, this Wall Street Journal points out, has never moved forward with its checking account proposal. Facebook tabled its crypto push for now. And you're just now seeing Google be like, okay, fine. Yeah. You have rules and we don't want to play here. Which I think is
totally.
Very, very interesting. And then I know that I made, Okay, before we get to half full, half empty, I just want to play this really. I'm sorry. It was so freaking delightful. And they pulled the audio and I can't do it.
I love the decision process that was audible.
Real time. I was like, it's 3:43. What should I do? I think you guys are really going to appreciate it.
We got time. It's Friday.
Imaginary friend of the show, because we've never actually had him on. Rex Chapman tweeted today that it was 50 years ago today that Disney World opened. And what I did not know is that when Disney World opened 50 years ago, it was like the coolest, most arguably culturally subversive thing that ever happened. Roll the tape.
Wow.
That's right.
Yeah. That's great.
This is, you can't see it, but this is a super multicultural cast of dancers 50 years ago.
That is amazeballs.
And a zippity-doo-dah rendition that includes scatting and full-on interpretive dance. I know that we don't have Make Me Smiles on Friday, but I was like, I'm not leaving that one until Monday. That's the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, don't leave any of it.
Scatting.
That's great.
Scatting and interpretive dance at Disney World 50 years ago today. All right, should we play a game? Now that we're all in a good mood?
Please. I'm regretting right now not bringing another beer into the shed. I would just like to say that. Okay, this is Half Full, Half Empty. Our predictions on various topics. Yeah, I don't, but I don't need another beer. Liana Squalace is doing the honors today. What have you for us, Ms. Squalace?
Well, you guys really took the wind out of my sails with that $1 trillion coin thing, because that was topic number one. And now we're
going to
move right on here.
Let's go with it.
The next topic number two, FAA planning to reduce taxiing time. Half full, half empty.
I mean, hope springs eternal, because that is ridiculous.
There you go.
I think it's going to happen.
Hollywood has spoken. So was it MMR this morning, or was it on the BBC? There's some proposal to get planes to the runway faster. The catch, of course, is that airport operations, for all the time that it seems like are sitting around doing nothing, they're really quite efficient, and it would only like reduce carbon emissions by some infinitesimal amount. But look, anything we do, I think I'm in favor of that. So half full.
Yeah, I'm half full. I mean, and not just because I'd complain about how long it takes, but because it would be apparently a pretty significant impact.
Yeah.
7 million gallons of fuel and the elimination of more than 75,000 tons of carbon dioxide. So, yeah, whatever you got to do that, half full, all the way full.
There you go.
Boom.
Boom. Done.
Rock it.
All right. Are you half full or half empty on congestion pricing for drivers?
So they're talking about this in New York City. It's a big deal in London. I think there is definitely a thing. There's definitely congestion pricing in Italy, because I got nailed. We rented a car when we went to Italy because my oldest son was studying in Bologna for a semester. And we went at Thanksgiving. And I got nailed for violating by like a millimeter over the freaking line into the congestion zone. Two $600 tickets. I bleep you not.
$600?
Yes. They are not screwing around. And of course, you know, so we had a rental car, and the note comes from the rental car, and we're going to pay it, but we're going to charge you 14% and this and that. And oh, yeah. And then I had to get money orders and transfer it into euros. And yeah, it was a mess. Anyway, provided it is well adjudicated,
really,
which in my
story.
Experience, it has not been. Oh, yeah. 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 Mm. Anyway, so I'm half full for a lot of reasons, but mostly because there's too many cars on the road.
I'm half full. Yep. There are too many cars on the road. And look, I mean, it goes along in line with like a carbon tax. Like if you want to change behavior, you have to create both incentives and sometimes disincentives. And this is definitely in the latter case.
Exactly.
And I'm into it. Yep. Bring it on. Yep.
Are you half full or half empty on the Macy's versus Amazon billboard debacle?
Oh my God.
I am unaware.
Okay. So this is an amazing story. Amazon wants to buy a billboard that sits on top of the Macy's, the historic Macy's building in New York City.
Yeah.
And Macy's has filed a lawsuit to stop this. And they're like, we would suffer reputational harm. And this is like horrible. Basically, they're just like, you cannot do that. You are like our number one competitor. You're already putting us out of business. Hell no. You cannot have a billboard on top of our brick and mortar building. And then all these people are like, this shows that Amazon needs to get into brick and mortar. And I'm like, this kind of just shows that Amazon are dicks. Like, I don't actually think that there's a lot of business going on here, except for like, we will crush you. I mean, I don't even know which part I could be half full or half empty on. I'm half full on the hilarity of the story.
Yeah, that I'm going with that. I'm half full on the of it. Yeah. Oh, can I do that on video? I guess I can. I just did it.
I just said the D word. So we're off the rails.
We got that E on the podcast.
I don't even know. Do you remember when we started this podcast and everybody was all uptight about getting the E, and I'm like, well, whatever, okay.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Hilarious. Yeah. The chat room is basically with me, and just the fact that Amazon is trying, and what just a like power move, let's say that is. We're kind of half full on the like wow, the sheer wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Next.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you. Oh. Sorry. Wait. Hang on. Your fan is getting so much love in the YouTube chat. Can I just tell you?
Oh, it is? Somehow, my sister-in-law gave this to me, and apparently I've just had it sitting here on the desk, and only at this exact moment did I realize, like, well, this is useful and has an actual job. I have a pretty little paper fan at my desk.
There you go.
And it's working.
And it's working because it's hot up there. That's all we're saying. All right, what do we got? We got one more?
Yeah, last one, and there's a little bit of context for you on this one. So a Dutch supermarket chain says it will introduce 200 chat registers in its stores to help combat loneliness, especially in the country's elderly population. Half full or half empty on chat registers.
You know, so look, number one, this is an extremely serious topic, right? Because lonely old people is a big, big deal, of which my mother is one. I don't know that she would stand there and talk to I don't even know if it's a person or a bot or what, but perhaps this could be technology solving a very human problem. I don't even know.
I mean, that's why so much robot development started in Japan, is because they had such an aging population. They were like, we're going to need it for caretaker and also company. That actually has, that's driven a lot. This question has driven a lot of robot development. I think it's freaking tragic that this is the place we're in. Even in like socialist countries that are supposed to be taking good care of their people, like you still have people who are so lonely that they want to go talk to robots at grocery stores. That is freaking heartbreaking. I'm half full. You know what? I'm just going to do like a politician and change the topic. I'm half full on awesome communal living when you're old. Boom. How about that?
Answer the question you want to answer, not the one you were
asked.
Plot twist. That's what I'm saying. There you go.
I guess I'm half full.
Love you
on
though we
robots.
Do, Liana Squillace. There we go.
It's awful.
Is that it?
That's awful.
Because we stole your first one?
That's it. No, they didn't give me any other information for you.
Well, then we love it.
That's all I'm saying.
Shows up.
There we go.
Exactly. Why don't the old people hang out together? Communal living, says Bob Stansalat. Ugh.
Whole different deal. All right. I believe that means we are done for today. If you see it, make me smile, would you, out there in the wild? Or if you want to share something that made you smile, send it to us. Because honestly, sometimes Molly and I just don't have it. Sometimes we just don't got it. You know, send it to us.
And sometimes you're funnier, honestly. You're funny.
there's that too. There's that too.
Let's be honest. You're hilarious. So yes, send us the Make Me Smiles. Send any questions or answers to the Make Me Smart question, which once again is what is something you thought you knew and you later found out you were wrong about. MakeMeSmart@marketplace.org. We accept all kinds of communications, emails, voice memos, beer. You can call us 508-827-6278, which is 508-UBSMART. Smart.
There was a point where I used to get beer in the mail at Marketplace. It would just like randomly show up.
I know, I shouldn't say that because it's just going to make it worse. Make Me Smart is produced by the absolutely wonderful Marky Green, who is learning to do this job and has been a killer producer on the How We Survive podcast launching next week. Today's episode is engineered by Charlton Thorpe. Half Full, Half Empty was hosted by Liana Squillace. The senior producer is Donna Tam.
The team behind our YouTube live stream and our game, Half Full, Half Empty, is Stephen Bion, Catherine Devine, Emily McCune, and Mel Rosenberg. Note to Bridget Bodner, should you be listening, we can take the pronouncers out of those names now, by the way. The theme music for Half Full, Half Empty was written by one Drew Jostad. The executive director of On Demand is Atar Nieves.
This is is beautiful. This is just a beautiful little fade out.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.